Welcome to Sideshow Podcast, episode 408. Happy February already?
Jesus.
I know. We got here quick. We're still waiting for some bigger releases here. We are we're doing some interesting ones, but we are all only doing new music. And we are now also going to be getting into our second Black Label discussion. There's got to be a better way to say that. I'll figure that out as we continue going. But we'll get there in a little bit. We've got a few new ones to get to first. I don't think I have any other fun, interesting shit that happened this week to start off the top with. Other than I will note that we have been doing pretty friggin' good on the social media recently.
Yeah.
Like just about daily.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do daily, but my biggest, since I'm not used to being social, so to speak, uh-huh. is that I'm, for the most part, in one of two places. Work right. or home. And I might not be doing the most metal thing or whatever. And it's like, what do I take a picture of? What am I doing? So for those of you that follow us, last night I posted about a game, which talk about real quick.
Yeah, right.
And I had actually found that day before and shared it to Nick. And I was sitting there like, I don't know what to share. Maybe we'll do this. So there's this game called Coffee Crisis. And it came out a couple years ago. And the company that put it out actually makes retro video game cartridges that works on old systems. Like Coffee Crisis, they made a Sega Genesis cartridge.
Did they really?
And it works on Sega Genesis.
Incredible.
And then they ported it over to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch, which I got recently, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. Because Nick and Mike are art director, and amongst others have one too. So, but this game is aliens invade Earth and steal coffee, metal music, and all the Wi-Fi because they have their own form of internet or whatever they're trying to put in. And so I sent this to Nick and he goes, did we fucking make a game? Like, we were drunk one night and we did make a game and don't remember. And to further that, there's two characters, a guy and a girl, and the guy's named Nick. Like,
yeah,
we might as well have made this fucking game after listening to a Ziltoid record.
Yeah, I really need to go ahead and download that. That sounds way up my alley.
It's currently on sale in the Switch store, which is why I got it. It was a couple bucks. So the company's based out of Pittsburgh, and there's a local band there. If I remember the name correctly, they're called Greywalker, and they actually recorded the music that is used in the game.
Rad. That's so good.
Yeah, they did it in connection with a coffee company out there called Black Forge Coffee, who actually Even came better. Up with the story. Like, yeah, it's just this crazy, like, how did this come together? And it's so up our alley in so many ways.
So we need to order some coffee and then do one of our band feature segments on that band and just have a big tie-in all together now.
That would be a hell of a lot of fun.
That'd be fun. We should do that.
Yeah, so.
And there's your video game minute.
Yeah, maybe we could throw that in somewhere. There's got to be other metal games that have come out recently. I mean, I know they exist.
Doom is coming out soon.
Yeah, you're not getting too much more metal.
Soundtrack that's about as metal as it gets.
Yeah, oh, I'm so excited for that. But anyway.
Yeah, so that's not why you're here, but maybe it is. People like banter. So we've got three new albums, one of which is a band we've talked about before. The other two are not. And as I said, we have our Black Label segment coming up in a little bit. So, first ones first. This is a band we reviewed two times before, and it's their third album coming out now. So we're crushing our track record on this one. And that band is Nero de Marte with their album Emoto out on Season of Mist. We really liked their self-titled first album that came out, 2013?
Yes, actually, 20.
Whoa, crushed it. And we didn't care for their second one as much. And I'm going to say, I'm guessing for both of us here, but I'll speak just for me, that trend continues with their third album. It's become very... They've progressed themselves out of being metal. I would almost call this just like post-metal now, where there are moments to it that are heavy, but a lot of it just feels like ambient nothingness filler. And then it gets heavy for like 5 seconds and backs off again. And the songs, it doesn't help that the songs are almost all in the 10-minute plus range, one pushing the 13-minute mark. And it's an hour and 10-minute long album, just about. And that's just too much. To be moving that slow and that spread out and spacious, it just... it can't hold my interest for a single song. And that's not generally anything you want from an album. Like, this album actively put me in a bad mood every time I listened to it this week. Because I just wanted it to end so I could listen to something engaging. I just felt like there was always something better I could be doing with my time.
Wow.
And that's not to say that there isn't parts of it that are good, and there are some riffs on it that are enjoyable. They're just so few and far between. It feels like listening to a Tool album. I know I'm going to get shit for that, but it has that same sort of like, here's 25 minutes of filler for one riff that you want to hear for a minute, and then we're going to tail off for another 10 minutes. And like, that's nothing I want to experience. That is way too much like building and hype and anticipation for not nearly enough payoff. And that is this entire album. And it did not connect with me in any way. The best I can give this is a 2. I just did not care for it at all.
Yeah, it started off okay for me. Like, I liked Sisyphus, and I like La Arca. Yes, they're a little long, but those actually held my interest. Because it seemed a little bit more toward the self-titled album. There was enough heaviness to it. While the writing was definitely in long form, it progressed in a way I could keep up, and it didn't lose me partway through. But pretty much after that, it lost me. The third track, Emoto, is the one push in 13 minutes. And you don't, like, really hear anything until, like, 2.5 minutes in. And then the crescendo is so slow. And I can't even call it much of a crescendo, because it peaks, like, 7.5-ish minutes in and doesn't do much. And then it's, like, super quiet. Like, at the volume I have it at now, you barely hear anything for about 3 minutes. And then it gets a little heavy at the end. And, like, that's where you lose me. And while there's other moments on this that are okay, like, there's just so much nothing and empty space. And I guess, yeah, it's supposed to be atmospheric. But to me, atmosphere works when there's something to hold you into the atmosphere. When it's literally just the atmosphere you're floating, it's like, okay. If I wanted to listen to an ambient album, I'd listen to an ambient album. Like, you, an album like this should be doing both, giving you that sense of space, but giving you something to latch onto, and it doesn't. I mean, for waiting for 6 years for a new album, and I know the band had a lot of, I didn't go read up on the history, they had a lot of stuff happen to them, and I remembered they needed support at one point and put out this, like, the 7-inch you could order to help the band and whatnot, and which I have somewhere. I think it was a split, maybe. And just to come back, especially on a label like Season of Mist, I expected something they're a diverse enough label, but I just expected something more. And Nick's right, it's very Tool-ish, and just, it can kind of meander and be so self-indulgent, you're just like, I don't care, get to the point.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't actively make me angry, I will talk on that later, but... This is definitely a 2. It starts off strong and then just loses you far too fast.
Yeah, I think you and I went to separate dates of that tour. The Ocean tour. Didn't they play with Cult of Luna and we had that experience of just absolutely hating every second of it because it didn't do anything?
Was that the Ocean?
Am I thinking the right band?
Cult of Luna, yes. I think it was Catatonia.
Okay.
They toured with. Catatonia sucked. Yeah. They were doing the acoustic detour.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was that experience of watching Cult of Luna and just being like, please, be done. Anytime now, you could stop. I don't like this. And at least that had the component of there was something to look at. This was that experience, but only for your ears. And that didn't work for me. I don't know. I did not want to listen to this. Like, there's a large part of me that wants to give it a 1. But I understand that there is some redeeming factors here, and for people more patient than I am, I don't really want to belittle it that much, but it's nothing I will ever go back to again.
Yeah.
So with that said, enjoy this 8-minute and 42-second track. We're going to play La Arca for you off of Nero de Marte. Don't forget, there's a skip button.
Thank you.
All right, so that trip was La Arca off of Nier Automata's Emoto. It's out now on Season of Mist. Let us know what you think of that, if we're being a little too harsh or just impatient, or we're actually right this time, according to you. Next up, also coming from Season of Mist, band Defiled and their album Infinite Regress, which... So this is a band that we have literally no experience with whatsoever. But they have been...
I mean, this happens at the beginning of the year when there's not a whole bunch of new albums out yet, but we're trying to not be doing Should I Miss Still from January. Right. You know, we're trying to find something new. It was a little bit slim pickings of, well, there's not a whole bunch of bands we actually know putting out music yet, so we're going to have to try a random death metal album. And we did.
And so this band is from Japan. They've actually been around since 92. There's a demo in 93, an EP in 94. Their first full-length didn't come out until 99. And since then, this makes Infinite Regress their sixth full-length album. And while they're just listed as death metal in Metal Archives, I would argue it's death grind or death grind thrash. I mean, there's definitely elements of all that. It's primarily death metal. Mm-hmm. Some of the pacing is grindy. The production is definitely grindy. It's very raw and abrasive and thin. And it's solid. I mean, there's nothing to me that's remarkable about this. It's very tight. They play a lot of, you know, it's very choppy and rhythmic, stop at a dime, change paces, or just, you know, drop out. So, I mean, they're tight in that regard, especially the rhythm section. The vocals get a little monotonous. I know it's death metal, and you're like, really, Brian? But the tone of this, the monotony here, I find a little grating. I mean, the album's not that long. It's 35 minutes, but it feels a little longer than that, and I think part of that, not solely, but part of that blame is to the vocals. I am curious to hear a little bit of their older stuff, because as with a lot of bands, older stuff does tend to be better. Not all the time, as we all know, but ask anybody, name a band, usually the first couple albums they love, the middle albums they don't like, and sometimes they pick up later. So Either their first albums are going to sound exactly like this, or it'll be better than this, and I'm curious, but it's just, this is like a three. It's a decent death grindy thrash album.
Yeah. I mean, that we're coming at this at the exact same angle. Like, you know, I'm generally not a huge fan of straight up kind of old school production death metal albums. But this, I mean, this, well, very much so being that, the production on it is a little bit more grindy, and it does do a couple, like, different things within that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like put a finger on. The song we're gonna play for you, like a minute and a half in, does like this kind of weird, I think it's a guitar, but it almost sounds like a little bit synthy sort of development over like a really snare blast beat sort of driving force underneath it. This is like a little bit different for what the genre normally delivers, and there's a couple grooves scattered throughout here that do kind of like draw you back in and make it not just like a standard straight up old school death album. It's not breaking a lot of new ground. It's not something I'm going to go back to all the time, but it is solid, and it definitely has some of its own merits and does some interesting, slightly different variations on a very tried and true formula. It ends up landing on a three for me. It's good. It's not mind-blowing.
Yeah, I feel like, and maybe I'm completely off-base about this, I feel like part of the appeal of this band is, like, its location. Being in Japan, I mean, I feel like Japan, you get some either really crazy death grind stuff, or you get shit like baby metal. And this being on, you know, obviously the former end of things, it might be a standout from the country, but... It, as far as the genre as a whole, it's just a solid offering. So, that's Defiled in a nutshell. So, off of Infinite Regress, check out the song Slave Robot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Slave Robot by Defiled off their latest album, Infinite Regress, also out now on Season of Mist. That'll bring us to our new feature we are lovingly calling Black Label, where, for those of you that didn't listen to the last episode, every month, not episode, every month, we're going to be featuring a indie record label that we want to feature, that says appeal to us somehow, we've checked out their music before, or whatever case may be. Last was Redefining Darkness, and for this month, we are checking out the label Transcending Obscurity. The label started by, and I apologize if I'm messing up the pronunciation of his name, Kunal Choksi, from India. The label, where the label is based, it started around 2009 as an extension of a zine that ended up being called Transcending Obscurity. It used to be called Diabolical Conquest. He found the need for a band. There was one band in particular called The Dead out of Australia that was reaching out. They really wanted help in the promotion and things that a label would do. So he decided to take it upon himself to try it out and start making a label. And since then, they have like over 60 artists. There's tons of releases. They just actually had a big sale on their Bandcamp, so I snagged a whole lot of things. We'll be talking more about the music momentarily. And there's actually three labels. There's the main, Transcending Obscurity. There's two sub-labels. One is called Transcending Obscurity Classics, where they've re-released a few, as you would guess, classic albums, notably like From Deceased, Fearless Undead Machines. There's a Master album they put out. So there's only a few of those, but they're there. And one called Transcending Obscurity India/Asia, which deals with bands from India and Asia. Why that's on a separate sub-label, I'm not quite sure, but that's how he's running it. The rest of the bands on the main label come from all over the world.
Everywhere.
Literally everywhere. Some of the bands themselves are from, not from one location. And it also runs the gamut of styles. And that's one of the things Kunal noted is, he primarily loves death and grind, but it also, he doesn't want to listen to the same thing over and over again, and it depends on his mood. By the way, I'm taking this from an interview that was done by Decibel in August of 2016, just to give credit where it's due, that it's about the diversity and the mood he's in and what he wants to listen to, but all has to be the quality. And it's like, this sounds very familiar to people I know. Yeah, and so, but it shows. I mean, the offerings of this label, there's a lot of, obviously, death metal, especially of the Swedish or HM2 style, but there's black metal, there's grindcore, there's death doom, atmospheric versions of any of those, as he is to label it. And it made it really fun, actually, to go searching through the releases on Bandcamp and sample things. Because while they intelligently put the location of the band in the band name and this general style in the album name, you never were quite sure how it was going to sound, what the production was going to be like, how crusty is this death metal going to be, how, you know, grindy is the death grind going to be, how straight black metal is the black metal going to be. And there's just a lot of good stuff. And coming from surprising places, in which by that I mean some of my favorites weren't actually the death metal ones, of which there was a glut of. There is, you know, we've talked about, we don't review doom metal much or variations thereof because we tend not to like it. One of my favorite releases I checked out actually before deciding to feature label was The Drowning and their album The Radiant Dark. It did that death doom balance in such a way I found it engaging and captivating at the same time. Like, it was just something, there was a little bit of atmosphere and mood to it that just kept me enthralled in it. And at the same time, a band like Bones just hit the death metal and crust just right, and I also found that equally as engaging in a completely different way. So, one more thing before I let Nick speak.
No, you're crushing it. This is fine.
Another thing that I found appealing to this label, about this label, again, probably a couple years ago, is that every band gets a physical release. Usually, even if it's just in CD, they get a physical release, and it, a lot of times it comes in, there's a fancy box set that has some type of embossing or gloss touch to it, and the box set includes, you know, things like a magnet or a patch or a guitar pick or a sticker or whatnot. And I think that's awesome because there's still a lot of metalheads that collect CDs. I somehow am not one of them, though I used to be one of the...
Which is still my bar.
I used to be like the leader of the pack when it came to that. But it puts the bands on like a more level playing field when you think about it. Like, you look at a lot of the big labels now, right? Like, the, you know, on Nuclear Blast, Soilwork will definitely get 14 different versions of vinyl, but whatever their newest signing is, will get a CD. And then if they prove themselves popular enough, then maybe they'll get a record next time. If they even get, like, promoted in the U.S., like, look at Polar. That wasn't even... I don't even know if that was officially released in the United States. But something like... on Transcending Obscurity, they have distribution set up in Europe and the U.S. While the U.S. may not always get vinyl or the fanciest box sets, they do have access to purchase it. And everywhere else, you can have this huge collection of fancy things from there. And I think it's awesome that it didn't matter who you are or what your style was, you got a CD, you most likely got a box set, and you may have gotten a record too, or a couple versions of it. And that's just, it's... I really like the equality of that.
Yeah, that is a very valid point. It makes it not, like, highlight a particular band over another one. It's like, you know, everybody on the label is kind of treated as equals, which is cool. It's interesting to me that, like, this is a label that I've been aware of for a long time. I just checked our... review list, and we've never reviewed a band that's on this label.
I kind of covered one on Instagram, but that's literally about it.
And we reviewed Colosso at one point in time before, but I don't think they were on the label it's just, it's weird to me because, like, this is one of those indie labels that, like, the name is familiar. I was aware of a few of the bands on the label, but we'd never actually covered a single release by them, which is a real oversight on our part, because as you said, not only is it an extremely diverse roster, it's like all good. Like, you know, there's 60 something bands on here, I think. And, you know, I did not have nearly the deep dive on it that you did, just because that's kind of how our schedules work these days. But I didn't really find anything that I didn't think was a great example of whatever genre it was, even if it was a genre I don't typically gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. I was still like, this is about as good as you're going to get from that.
Right.
You know, the production is pretty good on just about everything. It's like, it's just really, really well done. And the fact that there is a physical component to everything as well is pretty great.
Yeah, this is something, if Kunal ever hears this, for those of you who spend a lot of time on Bandcamp, you'll have seen some labels do subscription things. So for like $5 a month, you get whatever new releases come out as long as you're subscribed. I would subscribe to this in a heartbeat. You know, I took part in the sale and I have been on their mailing list, which is great because you get to see all the things coming out. They give huge images of all the physical releases, talk about the bands. And a lot of times you get some... download codes, so you can check out whatever you want, assuming you're fast enough to use the code, because I've gotten to that email late before and I've completely missed out on what was there. But yeah,
here's a super minor thing also as well, that, like, as a consumer of a lot of Bandcamp based music, is so wonderful. Firstly, he puts out label samplers that are great. Mm-hmm. It gives you, like, a good primer on a whole bunch of different stuff. But more importantly than that, for Brian and I, who are trying to have Skype conversations while sampling music, Bandcamp has never worked in a volume slider, which is the fucking bane of our existence.
So true.
Because it'll blow your eardrums while you're trying to have a conversation with somebody. And this label does a very good job of almost all the releases have a music video that goes along with whatever their current release is, which again, that's a big production thing. Not every band has one of those. That's great. And they're embedded right on the top of each band's page. And because it's a video, there's a volume adjustment. So you can skim something, you can see a performance video or a lyric video or just like an actual well-produced music video while getting a sample for what the band sounds like. And it's just like, it's a nice component to draw you in a little more, keep you on that page, keep you focused, and have some control over the volume at which you listen to things, which for us is a godsend. It's just a really well thought out, nicely put together thing that you don't see from most other labels, large or otherwise.
The irony of that is I don't think the purpose of that was to get a volume slider, but that is our favorite
part. I'm sure it wasn't, but like it's fantastic for me and you. Like most people are not trying to maintain a Skype conversation while they're surfing Bandcamp, but that's how we do. And it's extremely helpful to be able to have some sort of control over your levels. I don't know. It's just, it's very, very well laid out, thought out, curated, and presented. And that is not something that a lot of the bigger guys can claim. And it's just really well done.
Yeah, I agree. And so we'll be talking about them a little more next week, about the label next week. And next week we're going to play you a song of one of their forthcoming albums. But this week we decided to go with something, it's actually not really that old, but a previous release of something that stood out to me. The band is Officium Trist. The album The Death of Gaia came out last year, and this reminds me of, like, Swallow the Sun's first three albums. And if any of you remember from years ago when we've heard Swallow the Sun a couple times, and I did talk about them on Instagram once. I love the older albums. I love how heavy it is, the mood of it, the deep death growls, but there's an emotion behind it. And Officium Trist nails that. It is exactly what I've wanted from Swallow the Sun for years, but it's not, you know, it sounds like a backhanded compliment because I'm comparing them to one singular band, but it's filling a void that I've had for so long. But it is their own thing. There's its own twist and sound to it, and I just found this to be one of the standout releases of things we checked out. So, with that, from the label Transcending Obscurity, here is the song World in Flames by Officium Trist. Thank you.
right, that was World in Flames from Officium Tris off of our Black Label segment for Transcending Obscurity. We'll be playing another song from them next week, talking a little bit more about the label. Last one this week, we have the band Wormhole with their album The Weakest Among Us. It's out on Lacerated Enemy Records. I kind of nitpicked this one.
Kind of,
but not really. I mean, again, also beginning of the year, see caveats that we mentioned earlier. But these guys opened for the Archspire in Fury show that I went to go see in Boston last year. I only caught a song, maybe two songs, as I was getting to the venue. So I didn't really see much of the set, but they were with a really solid tech death tour. And I follow their bass player on Instagram because he's a really, really good bass player and builds beautiful instruments, Alex Weber. He also plays in Exist, which is a band we covered before. And another album that we're going to be talking about, I think, probably in a few weeks for Svengali. Mm-hmm. So we figured we'd give it a spin and check it out. Turns out, this is not really our thing. I think I speak for both of us. This gets a little bit too brutal, wet, dripping vocal, underproduced, slammy for our general tastes. That said, bass playing on it's incredible, and there are some riffs that are really, really good. I think Brian actually disliked this more than me based on some texts he was sending me earlier in the week of like, oh my god, this is hilarious that we have to review this. You must be hating it. And I think, oddly, I probably like this more than him. The vocals are super duper off-putting for me. It's all grunty, unintelligible ridiculousness, which I don't love. But a lot of the riffage is unique enough and interesting enough that I was actually able to kind of get by that, even with less than stellar production and vocals that I actively disliked. But there's still merit to this. I still kind of enjoyed it. And I don't think you can say the same.
Yeah, I mean, musically, I should be fine with it. I think I kind of wanted it to choose between the progressive aspect and the slammy aspect. Because
yeah,
while I like both and they can be done together, I didn't necessarily like how it was done here. Because I felt like, a song like track 2, RA9 / Myth, is definitely slammy. And I like some slams, like See My Love for Carnal Decay and Ingested. But a song like the first track, the title track, plays way more to the progressive. And I feel like the two don't come together very much. So while even the playing on both is fine, my problem with most slam bands is you get either super like drop Z production, everything is fucking bricked into one heavy tone, or you get something like this where it's super clear to a fault where you want a heavier rhythm section, you want something there. So like, while it works well on the progressive end, it didn't work quite as well on the slammy end. And those vocals, that is my barrier to entry with slam. And I know you hate guttural vocals like this. Yeah, and I tend to tolerate them more than you normally, but I feel like there'd be dozens of more bands I like if they didn't just exclusively do this bullshit vocal. And right now he's literally grunting. Like, there's not words there. By the time I hit track 4 or 5, I had enough. Like, I was just like, for the love of fuck, end this. And to which I did not listen to this album in its entirety once. I listened to the first half twice and the latter half once. And I was like, I'm done. I can't. It had the Nero DeMarte. What you have with Nero DeMarte, I had with this. Like, I couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was.
This is only half an hour. This is literally less than half the length of the Nero DeMarte.
It's 28 minutes, I know. But there was something about the combination of the production and the vocals that just didn't work for me. And, you know, sometimes these vocals as an accent work for me. I like that because it gives it a range, right? You go from a screen to a deep cookie monster to like a guttural, like think Benighted, you know, or even Aborted sometimes, like that works for me. Here where your range is from guttural to then it's pig squeal and grunt, and there's no semblance of words anywhere. I can't. Like, that's just...
It's funny, because I can't hear a difference between this or Benighted at all. They are the same vocalists to me.
You're wrong. And if you...
I'm sure if you go try
Benighted again, you'll hear that you're wrong. Neither of this is a basis for comparison.
Thing is, I'd pick this over Benighted 10 out of 10 times.
Because you like the bass playing and the progressive aspect for it. And I get that. I feel like an instrumental version of this album...
would be great.
It would be great. I might like that. Even if I don't... like how the album flows, I might actually enjoy that. This is garbage. Well, so I want to give it a one because I couldn't listen to it.
Do it, pussy.
I might. But you're right in that there is some good playing on here. I can't deny that. I mean, not just Alex Weber. Some of the riffing, some of the slams are good, albeit if generic. I just think there's two albums in here, or two EPs in here of music, and I think they would best be separated because they're never written together. Or it's rarely, I shouldn't say never, rarely put together in a way that makes it flow. I have to...
Yeah, I mean, that's valid.
I have to give this one. I couldn't stand this.
Wow, it's so funny for me to hear you give a band a one almost solely on the merit of what the vocalist is doing, because that is such a 180 from where this podcast started 9 years ago. It's like, can you see this huge smile? Can you hear the huge smile on my face that you just gave an album a one based on vocals?
Not just based on vocals.
I know, but it's largely.
Yeah, it's being a little unfair. But I literally couldn't play this album straight through, and it makes me angry. So it's also not fair to me to give it a two.
Yeah, I get that. But it makes me extremely happy. This is a three for me. I didn't mind this. The vocals are off-putting, but we listen to a lot of shit where I don't like the vocals. So, whatever. At this point, I'm kind of jaded. If I hear grunting and pig squeals, I kind of just tune it out because we've listened to a lot of that over the last decade practically, and it doesn't have the same effect on me it once did. I still don't like it, but it doesn't have that
same effect. So I think maybe that's part of the difference here. So I've actively gone looking for slam bands, for something that rides that line I really like. There's a band called Organectomy, which sounds like you'd expect it to. It's on Unique Leader. And I still haven't pulled the trigger on buying the album because it really rides that line. And part of it's the vocals. I like the music. I like the production on it. And the vocals I can tolerate there. But that's the thing. I don't know if I like them as opposed to tolerating them. This I found kind of intolerable. And that's because I haven't passively just gone through the vocals. I've been trying to find more ingested bands. More, shit. There was another one that I'm blanking on the name of it. There's a couple more that I felt like Cardinal Decay. Well, that rides, they call themselves a slam band, but as we discussed reviewing that album, that rides a very different line for me.
Yeah, for sure.
But trying to find Abysmal Torment. That's the name I was looking for. Trying to find more like that, and when I come across something like this, I just go, no, this isn't what I'm looking for, and it still isn't.
It's funny. This doesn't rub me the wrong way. I don't like the vocals, but that I'm used to that. And what's going on with the band? Well, I do agree. The slammy aspects and the progressive aspects don't always work in tandem. I think there's enough overlap between and enough interesting stuff going on that there's a few songs or riffs where I'm like, okay, you're kind of riding that little slow down, breakdown, chug thing a little bit more than I would like, but then it bounces right back with some insanely technical playing and a ridiculous bass sweep that I wouldn't be able to do in a million years. And I'm like, all right, rap. I'm back. And it walks that line enough that this never was that.
I mean, this might be something I come back to later this year and go, okay, I get it. Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
I bought a band last year called Guttural Slug.
That sounds horrible.
You would probably hate it, but. It ticks all the vocals ride that line where I want them to be, and it ticks all the other boxes I want. Succumb to Demise was another one. They're a little less slammy, but like this, I don't know. This didn't do it. Again, I might come back to it and listen to the music and go, you know what, Nick was right, but we'll see.
It's just fucking hilarious that you give something a 1 and I gave it a 3, and the biggest differentiator between those two is vocals. And that makes me so happy that we can still surprise each other 408 episodes.
It last year I didn't give any 1s? And this year it's literally February 1st, and I've given a 1 already.
Yep.
Welcome to 2020.
We're off to a good start, 2020. Bring it. All right. Well, cool. That was fun. I'm glad we did that. So that's Wormhole. The album is The Weakest Among Us. It's out on Lacerate Enemy. Please weigh in. Let us know what you think, because this is fun. I have nothing else to plug. As always, head over to SideshowPodcast.com, leave a comment, let us know what you thought of anything we talked about. If you want to suggest any small indie labels, we had one suggestion from there already, so thank you for that. We're going to be looking for another 9, so feel free to throw those our way. And that's going to do it. I got nothing else to plug. Feel free to leave a review or rating on... I almost said Instagram. That's not where you leave a review. I mean, you can just tag us in a post, but I was going to say iTunes is the other one that is more important that helps people find the show. So go do that. That does it. That's it. We're going to leave you the song Ultra Frigid from Wormhole. Check it out. We'll see you in a couple weeks, and we'll have a whole bunch more music to cover.